Thank Don from BBS Radio and his brother Doug. Thank you so much, guys, for making this possible for us to be brought worldwide live through BBS Radio online. I welcome all those that are here with us tonight. My name is Gijs Minderhout. It is the first day of June 2016, and we have another gathering of people here on call simulcast with this radio show. If you got questions, we got answers. Is a call our beautiful sources on the other side from the Elohim group. We had more people join in here on the call. Thank you for being here. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Anna, Kent, Washington.
Hello, Anna. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. Who else? If you want to, please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Prudence in North Carolina.
Hi, Prudence. Welcome.
Thank you, Heinz. Hi, everyone.
Thank you for being here.
Hello.
Hello, who's this? Welcome to the call.
Fred.
Hey, Fred. How you doing, brother?
Real good, man. I couldn't get
all right.
I'm phoning it today. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Thank you for being here, Fred. Good to hear you.
I didn't wear you out earlier this morning, Fred, huh?
We had somebody else join in. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, good evening. This is Terry from Roselle, New Jersey.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi. It's Eric in New Mexico. How are you, brother?
Eric, good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to the call.
Thanks, guys.
Good to have you.
Thanks.
Back in Columbus.
Yes.
Who just joined in? Welcome to the call.
I was down in Northern Ohio.
Good evening to you, Don.
Thanks.
Did you have another call join in? If so, we welcome you, and please say your name and location. Or maybe it's not so, and we will wait for the next ding to be present. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Janine from Salt Lake.
Hi, Janine. Welcome to the call.
Hi, thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. Who else joined in? Welcome. Please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Terry Brown, my lovely sister. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for being here, Terry.
And Morgan in California, and I'm going to mute myself right away.
Oh, thank you, Morgan. Thank you for being here. All
hey,
right.
Chris in Memphis.
Chris, my brother, how are you doing?
I will not be muted.
All right. Chris in Memphis. Right? You're in Memphis, right?
Yeah.
Back home. All right.
Did you listen to Ed Spina's conference call last week?
I did, yes. I think it was quite interesting.
Uh-huh. Learn anything usable?
I can barely hear you, Don. Say it again.
Did you hear anything? Did you learn anything that he can use?
I think he has a very, he's very energetic and. I did get actually a package from him, and I just started looking into it, but I haven't gone far yet.
I did that. I did the thing.
All right.
It's pretty good.
But just being there on the call and doing meditation, that's pretty cool, I think.
I got one of those clearings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
those visualization things where you bring thing in your chakras and explode and all that stuff.
Yeah, right, on the CD.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get the thing over? You did, because you were talking about it a little bit about him clearing you out. Yeah. Still got your job.
He's got another one. He's got another one. It's a higher self integration. Man,
yeah.
That thing is really good.
That was what the call was last week, wasn't it? Last Thursday.
Well, this was like presented, and then I did get it. I haven't looked into it yet, but. That was also part of the meditation we did, I guess, yes. All right.
We're going to have a group of masters here pretty soon. Then we'll show them. But Terry, you said you know John Rappaport?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I really like him.
Yeah, I was looking at some of his videos. Pretty good news journalist.
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Welcome to the call, Shirley. How are you doing?
Oh, just great. Thank you.
Right. Thank you for being here. And the helicopter has been noticed, so I guess wind's on its way. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It is Wynn.
Wynn, you're not a moderator.
Uh-oh. Is Terry here?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll call right back.
Thank you.
Okay.
Maybe Wynn can get Terry to teach him how to be a moderator.
Good one, Don. Thank you.
Moderator University.
We'll have to follow.
We had two more people joining. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Dharmananda here.
Dharmananda, welcome to the call, Dharmananda.
Thank you.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say a name and location. Unless you want to be silent.
I am back.
Oh, Wynn, welcome back.
We're going to have to send you to Moderator University.
Uh-oh. You're getting back at me. You're getting back at me. I like it. I like that.
All right.
All right,
6:06 on Wednesday, when the mic is in your hands.
Yeah, but Terry's not ready.
No, I'm never ready. I'm a never-ready battery.
I'm never ready, but you are a battery, so that works, huh?
Yeah, okay. Right.
All right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Now I'm trying to figure out how to start the recording.
You want me to do this for you?
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 6, 2016. Wynn and Terry. In the United States.
Is the
and
first.
Didn't I say June 1st?
I thought you said the 6th.
Terry, did I say the 6th or the 1st?
It is being recorded. We can check.
I'm looking at the 6th or 7th. I could have
you
screwed
said
up.
The 6th.
I said the 6th. Thank you. Hi. My humble apologies. And, you know, for some reason, I was really sleepy. I was about ready to go to sleep. You know what? This is a new thing. Not being able to do what you want when you want to do it, right? I said, I've got to do a call. But we have some really great questions tonight, and we have a really great person to answer those questions. And she thinks I need to go to Moderator University. Terry, are you there? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm muted.
You are not.
I'm muted.
I hear you.
You're...
Terry, you are getting funny. Oh, my God. She sounds like she's been drinking.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
No, I know. That was
maybe
you last night.
Yeah, that was St. Catherine. Mostly had wine, the Eucharist. That's all she drank.
Yeah.
Eucharist, wine, and bread.
Terry was thinking that she and Raymond were binging on the Eucharist, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I ate and drank.
Okay. Well, let's see here. Let's go on right and get started, okay?
I was looking at the pictures today of you calling in the light and then taking your picture and having your picture all with pink light all over it.
Where's that picture?
On your computer for when you were with Dr. Julian.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Believe it or not, you know, people see all this phenomena, and it is pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing as far as I'm concerned. You know, when somebody takes my picture and there's pink lights all around me, and the Elohim says that's them, and it's happened more than once. But you know what? The interesting thing is when that's happening, I don't necessarily see it. I see it in the picture. And sometimes it happens even when I'm off center. So it's kind of like, it's pretty amazing because they're using my auric fields to rebroadcast themselves. And sometimes I just have to be out of the way. It's like when Jerry channels. She has to be out of the way, which is good, because they're a lot more interesting than us. So in any case, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. Do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Fa'an, and we greet you in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. It is a joy to be with each and every one of you. And when you stay within yourself via telepathy, or you imagine what it is that you wish to say to us, it creates a light that is visible beyond the veil. Do you have questions?
Yes. This is from Dave in Grove City, Pennsylvania. Our sources said my will was the determining factor of healing myself of the long-term issue. Is my neck issue also self-healable? Or is it something that a chiropractor has to do? For instance, pop it back in. Thank you. Are we here?
We not hear you, and Terry's line is present, but I don't hear her.
Yeah. Okay.
Were you muted?
Yeah. Did you hear anything from me so far?
No, not a thing.
Oh, no. Okay.
Sorry, Ellen.
We bring you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you. If we ever see anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it. It doesn't apply to you at that time. Sometimes when someone asks a question, the answer may not apply to you, even though the question that somebody else has asked has been the same question that you ask. We are available to you when you think a thought and with intention. It creates a light that extends beyond the veil, and we are able to see your light. Then we move to Dave in Grove City. If you have a chiropractor that is a good chiropractor that knows the structure of the body and knows how to give it a little help in putting things into alignment, it does not hurt to take the advantage of such a chiropractor. Whether your neck would go back in place by itself, it sometimes happens. It is due to not only misalignment in the neck, but it creates other misalignments. When there is a misalignment in the neck, it creates other misalignments in other parts of the body. So it would be good to get checked and see if there are other structural things that are out of place. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to tag a question onto that. You know, we read about miracles. We read about the kind of miracles that happened with Jesus. We experienced my sister's healing. Various people on this call have had amazing phenomena with regards to healing. And then other people have the same issue. And I know they're trying their very best. And where is it that will can create healing and where it can't?
Sometimes there is a push-pull effect where the person has had a trauma in some past life which has created a withdrawal of energy in the area where the trauma was. It is uncomfortable when there is an area of trauma. And beings tend to withdraw their energy and not want to experience that. Then it carries over from life to life, or can carry over from life to life, creating a blockage in the new life, which then can create all manner of diseases because the areas that are affected are not getting the necessary nutrients and the necessary energy to operate smoothly and functionally. If a person has a strong desire to heal but still has a withdrawal within themselves that is subconscious and they don't realize, then it can block healing in that person. And the person then, even though they try, until they release that blockage, they often do not clear the blockage, and then it creates a problem for the individual as their body is not functioning correctly. Sometimes, as you have noticed, when you do a treatment with rushing water to help relieve the blockages of energy, then eventually a blockage could heal that way.
And when you talked to Dave about the importance of willpower in his healing, was that something that was related specifically to Dave, or is that something that everyone can use?
That is something everyone can use. When one has willpower towards healing, then they tend to think more out of the box. They tend to look for outside solutions. They tend to see what it is that all of the different modalities that can help them heal. And it makes it more feasible that they would find the answer.
So the answer may be not necessarily a spiritual healing, but just the willpower to find the right doctor or the right specialist or the right vitamin or the right supplement, yes?
Yes, however, it also can carry over to taking a look at your body and seeing if you feel that there's a blockage of energy. Pain is an indication of a blockage of energy.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Raiden, who is one of our regular participants on these calls. And Raiden just took a trip to Egypt. And he just got back, I should say, about a week ago. And, you know, a lot of people looked at that trip he was doing to Egypt, which was with his girlfriend, and they said, geez, I don't know if he should go. This looks like it's going to be a tough trip. But he went anyway, and it was a tough trip. He fell into holes. He hurt himself. They lost his luggage. He was on the plane just after the one that crashed, and everyone got killed, and we were all worried about him. And his question is, what was he supposed to learn something from that trip? And if so, what was he supposed to learn, and why it wasn't so intense?
Okay. Give us a moment. I see that was indeed a difficult trip. And there was a energy, the energy at the time was more conflicted, which appeared in the things that happened on your trip.
Was Raven's energy more conflicted?
The energy of Earth, of the area, of the zone, of Egypt, of the airlines, the energy was more conflicted. And astrologically, it was an area which brought through more vibrational disruption than normal. That was one of the factors. You can always learn from such situations. One of the things is how each of the conflicts that happened appeared and what could have been done to alleviate it, to not go near the hole. To be very alert and vigilant about the ground you're walking over. To move in closer to the events of the day, the now. To check the things that you are carrying. To make sure that it is something compatible with flying on a plane. As the plane have different things that they look for, liquids and things, but to check to make sure what the rules of the airline is, what the rules of the airport are, and to make sure that you are prepared to harmonize with what is going on. In other words, to be more in the now and to pay attention to the now and the details of your surroundings.
Thank you. Next question is from Marilyn. And let me see here. Marilyn says, some years ago, this is me speaking here. I'm just doing an intro to her question. Some years ago, we were hearing about crystal and rainbow children, and they were described as advanced souls from higher realms that were coming into the earth to be of service here, and that the crystal, I should say there was crystal and rainbow children and indigo children, okay? And supposedly, the first crew that came in was indigo children. And like all beings that come in from higher realms, they go through the veil of forgetfulness. And they don't know why they're here. And they don't know their crystal and rainbow children. And Marilyn says here, can you tell us more about that group? They are said to be the peacemakers who have come in and are coming in to assist humanity to create the so-called New Jerusalem. They come in remembering and knowing their soul's purpose and that they are here to be of service to others and promote world peace and love. I'm just saying, I'm not sure once they're here they remember their soul's purpose, but our sources can comment on that. And how many crystal and rainbow children are with us? And we should include indigo children. Okay.
Thank you. There are always crystal and indigo rainbow children that pop up, advanced souls, even before the majority of these souls come in. There are some in advancement of the group that can set the tone, that can be leaders for those that are coming. When the energies of Earth are more fine-tuned and higher vibration, then it is more likely that higher vibration beings will come in, as lower vibration beings don't make the cut. They aren't able to be viable, and they aren't able to be the ones to get the body and to move in. We see that there's a gradient scale, if you take even one group, where there are the brightest, maybe 20,000, and then there is a bell-shaped curve, maybe 60,000, 80,000, that are more advanced, and then the ones that are on the other side of the bell curve. It depends also upon the countries and the bodies that are provided. China has fathered and mothered some very bright children. We look at different countries. America has fathered and mothered many bright children. It depends, too, upon the educational system and what training these children are given, as some of them are stifled and the parents are not able to handle the child. They move it down in what it is willing to how bright it is willing to show that it is. So in general, it is that the higher vibration of Earth at this time is attracting higher vibrational beings. We see different numbers in different countries, and we see that parents are ones that specifically attract this type of child in general, as the child being brighter wishes to come through brighter parents. So you have the situation also where indigo children then give rise to crystal children, and they do better.
What percentage of indigo and crystal children are awake?
Awakeness is a gradient scale. How awake? If you mean by awake, to remember that they are here to help, to remember their purpose, there are maybe 20% that that are aware, but 40% are on the edge, can be woken up and know that there is something more there.
Thank you. Steve Cannell asks about the launch point of incarnations. Do they come from the astral or higher realms? And I had answered him back, and I said, I thought they come from different realms depending on the person. People can come into this realm from very high realms. They can choose to. And when a person does that, do they go through the astral before they get into a body, or do they just go into a body? And just in general, could some questions about where incarnations are launched from.
Thank you. That is a good question. Many, when the individual does not go back to the heavenly realm, but remains in the third density, and their body passes over, and then they, as a ghost, are looking around, and they are able to be a launch point from the third density when they take a body which is born. They can, at that point, they can launch themselves into the body. Perhaps they stand aside and protect the body until the body is strong enough for them to inhabit the body. They might see a pregnant woman and might hang around her for a period of time as the body develops. And then that can be their launch point. They're ready and waiting when the baby is born. The launch point can be in a hospital where a lady is having a baby. The launch point can be from the heavenly realm where a person looks in on prospective parents and decides which parents would be the good ones for them to take the baby body that is going to be born. Which parents would make the best parents for them? What contracts would they like to work out to have with the parents? There are different aspects, as you see. Are you there?
Yeah. I was looking here. Next question. Let's see. Michael Adler. Michael is having an issue. His finger nails. Now, you know, I don't always take health issues. I'm very careful about it because we can't give health advice. And it's not legal because we're not medical licensed practitioners. So if anything comes through on this kind of thing, then please be sure and run it by your doctor. Take it as entertainment. And Michael has been coming to our calls for a long time, and I think he understands the ropes. So I'm letting this question through. But a lot of times I won't, particularly if we don't know you. My fingernails have turned blue near the bottom. I think that there is called the lunula. I was concerned because when I looked up the symptoms, it said either heart or kidney issues. my medical doctor and my doctor of Oriental medicine disagree as to the cause, and neither one is doing anything about it. Could our sources please take a look and give their opinion as to the cause and what I should do about it?
Thank you. Blueness is an indication of not enough circulation. One can use that as a basis for figuring out, contacting medical professionals, figuring out how to increase the circulation, also to make sure that there is no toxins in your diet that may be blocking avenues of circulation that could be making a situation. We suggest researching this, looking on the internet, putting in the things, the situation with the fingernails, different indications. Fingernails indicate different things that can be going on with the body. And to review this and see your particular fingernails, do they have any of the ridges or the symptoms, colorations that are known that has a cause that you can then track down. We suggest that you make this a priority, that you do track this down to find the cause, particularly to make sure you are not in eating or with your food, bringing any toxins in, or through the air, any toxins that could be blocking circulation. That is our answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question here is from Janice in Laplace, Louisiana. A couple of months ago, our neighborhood got hit with several tornadoes. Everybody's homes got pretty beat up for roof damage except our home. Everyone around us had damage. How did we not get it? Were we lucky or were we protected?
Thank you. You were protected. Storms have consciousness, and they do choose, although it seems strange, they do choose where they hit. We have had instances, we've seen instances where tornadoes are looking for some disharmony, some anger, some attack against their presence, to use that to single out which homes to hit.
Are earthquakes similar? Are rain, fire similar?
Are what?
Earthquakes and fires.
Give us a moment. Earthquakes and fires are not the same as tornadoes or storms. Storms are moving energies. Earthquakes tend to have stuck areas that wish to release. Although one can look at an area and from the standpoint of very, very high energy can look to the stuckness and help to release it slowly or to change the prospect. There is a point where beyond that point it is set in stone and is very hard to change with earthquakes. As the pressure builds in a certain area and has to release. However, when one focuses out and looks at it like the lens of a camera moving to an extremely distant view, which takes everything into consideration, it can be alleviated unless it is reached the point of no return. Fire is like a very high frequency that gathers everything around it into that same frequency and disintegrates the thing that it is burning. Fire can be handled to some degree in that if one looks at the firewalks where one is able to get outside of the box and outside of the belief system that everything's going to burn down, if one can do that, which is very hard, they may be able to escape the fire.
With an earthquake, for example, does the earth have any decision-making process on an earthquake?
It is mechanical to a certain degree that the mechanics of pressure against pressure tends to push the pressure and the energy to a place outside of itself and into another area of the earth. And so pressures travel. Energy of earthquakes travel sometimes very rapidly over long, long distances and are relayed over long distances. It is more of a mechanical thing because of the earth is to a certain degree made of rocks or solid areas.
Thank you. Is this the end of the answer?
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask the question. Who asked this question? I think it was It was Janine Crossland. But before I ask her question, I would like to ask a question that's related to her question. And that is, at our last call, we were sharing some of the experiences we were having talking to a gentleman by the name of Morley Safer. And I very much felt it was him, and I could feel the energy when I looked at his videos. It seemed like the same person. And he was very smart and very astute. He's probably listening to us now. And he was saying that, and this is a common thing, that, you know, Reverend Williams said this, that, you know, he doesn't have memory because he didn't have a brain. And a certain portion of the memory was stored in the brain. And when there's no more brain, you no longer have access to that. And then he was saying, now if it was in Terry's brain, he could access it. Well, that brought up just a very interesting line of questions in my own mind, because many of us are busy learning things and storing things, I guess, in our brains. And when we die, we're not going to have access to this, I assume. But we do have access to something. In other words, when I talked to Morley, he remembers his wife and his daughter and his job, and he remembers a lot of things. And it seemed to me that the things he was remembering were things that he had a vibrational connection to. And the things that were pure mental learning, he didn't seem to remember. And did you make any comments about this?
Yes. Different people remember different things after they pass on. Some, even before they pass on, begin to forget even some of the major things, like their child's name. And they do not have access to it. If they have, say, Alzheimer's disease, then they tend to lose memory. Memory is stored in the body, not just the brain, but the body as a whole. And it is also stored in the light body. So there can be more and more memory come up if a person learns how to access memory from their light body. Memory of their past lives still is with them. And it takes a technique to be able to retrieve it.
Now, in Robin Williams' case, he could remember a past life. Where was that memory stored?
In his light body.
In his light body. And there was one time when we were channeling with Daphne, and the voice of her past life started talking to me, and I asked how this could work, and it said that every lifetime has a track in as a soul fragment and as a stream. So even though you had a past life, which is not necessarily the lifetime of this lifetime, the track of that life is still stored. Now,
yes.
That's something I never heard before. Does that mean that every single being throughout the history of the universe has a track of their lifetimes, all their lifetimes stored?
It would be stored in the Akashic Records. There have been some instances where damage has been done to the Akashic Records, but in general, the memories are there.
Mm-hmm. And so, was that instance I was talking about, was that the track of a past life of that person speaking from the Akashic Records?
Yes.
So they didn't really exist except in the Akashic Records.
What doesn't exist?
The soul, well, I guess it does exist. It exists there, right? So if the Akashic Records are working correctly, then all of our past lives are stored in the Akashic Records.
There is a flow where it is stored, yes.
And that we could potentially, one could potentially talk to the track of their past life.
That's correct.
Okay. What makes that past life come into manifestation so it starts talking?
To access the frequencies and the vibration of it, then once one accesses that, then it starts to materialize in their memory.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me ask Janine's question here. And I thought I'd have that discussion. We only have a couple minutes. And her question is, if somebody has Alzheimer's, memory problems, or brain problems, and forgets memories in this realm, will they be in a void when they pass from this realm? I have type 2 diabetes and have had many ECTs over 100. I am afraid I'm losing my memories. I am losing my feelings. I fear it is a brain thing. I don't think it is a heart thing. I don't know what exactly is going on with me now. One example, when I meditate now, there's blackness, and when I study the work sometimes, I have bad headaches. Other times, not so bad, or ringing in my ears. Is that how it should be? There are other things going on as well, but I am concerned about losing the connection. The connection I have with you. If I am losing some of my cognitive abilities in this realm, please could you shed some light on it for me? Thank you so much. Love and light to all. Janine.
Thank you. Could you explain what ECT is?
I don't know. It's probably
electrocardiogram.